everybody. You're with Pursuing True North. I'm Jenny Scioto, and today Catherine King and I got to interview a sweet, sweet woman, Heart for Jesus. Her name is Kathleen Murphy, and she founded the organization My Own Backyard. Please join with us today as we listen to her beautiful testimony and how My Own Backyard has unfolded over the years.
Kathleen, thank you so much for sitting down with us today and just letting us know all about you and what you do and your story.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's such an honor to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. So can you tell everybody about just kind of what Jesus has done, what God's done in your life, and just the story that touches you deep that you feel like sharing with us to kind of let us know how God's been real to you?
Absolutely. I would love to share that. I'll say I grew up knowing that God loved me. I had really supportive parents who worked, whether in a volunteer capacity or officially in the church, and I knew God's love from a very young age. But I think what I love to share with people is that God really had to come get me and really chase after me. Because I knew God's love, I oftentimes felt like I had to earn it. I'm the oldest child, and there was a lot of responsibility either put on me or that I put on myself. And a lot of my life revolved around performing for God, doing a lot of things because I felt like God wanted me to. Much like I wanted to impress my parents with good grades, I found myself wanting to impress God with what I did. And so even though I was raised in the church, even though I went to all the Sunday school classes and had all of the answers, I felt like that it wasn't until I really got to a point where I was ready to surrender to Jesus that I really started living with him. I think I confused a lot of my performance with something that would pay God for what he did, when God actually sent Jesus to pay for my sins and to redeem me. And he did the work. He started the work and he'll finish it. And so my story starts there, really. When I was 17, I was at a Christian camp. I always tease and say I went to FCA, and I wasn't a C, nor was I an A. Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I wasn't a Christian and I wasn't an athlete, but somehow I wound up in an FCA camp. There was a teacher that believed that I needed that. And so they sent me the summer before my senior year. And I had been living, you know, I was able to answer so many questions about the Bible. I knew all these things about my church. I knew all these things about God. But it wasn't until I was there that I realized that I was living my life for a God who had died to be with me. And that was the turning point to me really surrendering my life to God, because I was doing all of these things for, and you know, you think about a gift and you're getting something for someone, you put the gift together and you wrap it up and then you give it to them and then you can leave, right? And they can have the gift. And that's what I was doing for God. I was putting all these things together and then offering it to him and being like, okay, I did it, you know, I'm done. But really, God sent Jesus so that I could be with him and so that I could be next to him and so that I could connect with him. And so that I think is the main part of why I started to do, why I started looking at my relationship with God differently after that summer.
So before, it really wasn't as much of a relationship. It was just, it was a works-based.
Absolutely.
And you felt like you were earning your salvation by the works you were doing.
Yeah, and I felt like I had to earn God's love. You know, that being an oldest child, being a performance-oriented person, having a lot of background in music and theater, I was the queen at putting on a great face, and I didn't really understand that God actually is a really big God and can handle every emotion. He can handle every up and down of life. And it was that summer that I realized that my life in surrender and living my life in surrender was actually the greatest gift that I could be giving back to God. And so when I left that camp, I was able to start a journey with God that really taught me more about who Jesus was and the person of Jesus. And as I discovered who Jesus was and how Jesus walked and how Jesus lived beside people, it radically changed the way that I thought about my life and that I thought about other people's lives too.
Okay, so you're 17 and you have this amazing camp experience, and now you have a relationship, you have a walk. And where do you go? What happens now?
What do you think? Well, that what's interesting is I think people have maybe a little misunderstanding that if we give our lives fully to Jesus, then life just poof, it is magical, rainbows and unicorns, and you're just, you know, yay, I'm so happy all the time. That really wasn't it. I know that that timing was there because 2 years later, my best friend was killed in a car accident. I was in a deep depression during college. I loved college, but it was really hard for me to wake up in the morning. I had lots and lots of stress and anxiety and depression and just things that I felt like I could never pull out of. And I don't think, I know that if I didn't have that experience of surrendering my life to Christ, I might not be here today. And it was only by God's grace that I was able to get through the hardships, through the challenges, through the ups and downs of college and all of that, you know.
So can you give us a little bit of an idea of what that looked like? You're struggling getting out of bed. You're struggling with the anxiety and the grief and just processing everything on top of trying to also perform at college and get the things done you need to do and live up to the expectations. As an oldest child, I completely get. You have it given to you and you put it on yourself.
Yes.
So you're trying to go through all of this. What does this look like with your walk at the time?
Yeah. So for me, it looked like understanding that God is a really big God and it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to ask questions and to say, I don't get it. Though I was raised knowing that God loved me, I don't think I was raised knowing how to grieve. I know that I wasn't. And so there was a lot of loss that I was experiencing from a really young age that I wasn't really taught how to deal with. There wasn't really a culture of, oh, you should talk to someone, or not even in the church. There wasn't even a supportive structure, I guess, at the time when I was growing up, to really come around people and support them when they were going through things. And so for me, it was learning how to grieve. It was asking for help. It was knowing that God is so big and yet so personal that I could ask questions why and be super angry. I could also come to him with my nerves about my classes. I could also ask him questions and know where to go next. And that God would always be there and that he would not abandon me because I was angry. He would not abandon me because I was sad. He wouldn't say, oh, this is too much for me. Because I had experienced that with people. And what I found myself doing is that I was taking the experience I had with people and projecting it onto God and thinking that God would respond to me in the same way. Or I was taking what God was supposed to do and projecting it on people. And it was during that time that God really shaped and molded me into who I think he really wanted me to be. And I don't think without the grief and without the anxiety and without the depression, I would not have been totally reliant on God. I would have still relied on myself because I was independent. I can do this. I can do anything. But what I couldn't do is dig myself out of that hole. I could not bring my friend back. I could not solve any of these problems or issues that I felt like I was having. And so for me, it looked like sometimes I just had to let myself be sad. And sometimes I had to let myself be overwhelmed so that God could then come in and take over. When I couldn't do something, I would say, oh, I can't do this. And I just remember one time God being like, you can't. That is the truth. You cannot. But I can. And here's where I pick it up. So you hand it to me, because remember, you surrendered your life to me. So that means I own it and you no longer live, but I live in you. And so this is my job. My job is to take care of you. My job is to love you. My job is to help you through this, but also be with you in it.
So and you kept going to God with all your feelings, with all the emotions, with I'm having a hard time, I can't do this, with you just kept bringing it before the throne.
I had to. Yes. I think I learned the hard way, because honestly, my first reaction was to sleep. That's how I knew that I was depressed and anxious, is that my body just couldn't do it. I was overwhelmed. I was sad. I felt alone. I didn't have a lot of friends, and this was my one friend that I felt like was taken away. So I had to learn through that difficult time that God was the one that was the constant. And I had to continuously say yes to him over and over and over again. And yes, I trust you. Yes, I trust you. So that it would almost allow my heart to catch up with the words that I was saying, because my heart didn't always feel.
Oh, the feelings come after. Yeah. Always. Almost yeah. always.
It didn't yeah. always feel great. And so I had to continue to speak his word over my life, continue to speak the things I knew to be true, which at the time felt like very little. I didn't feel like there was a lot that was true, but I knew that he was good and I knew I could trust him. And so the more that I said that, the more that my heart and my mind caught up to that.
And that's how you got some healing through this refinement mm-hmm. period. And mm-hmm. so as you emerge out of this kind of grief and depression, mm-hmm. where do you go from there? And what do you... Where's God lead you at this point?
Yeah, so I think a constant theme in my life has always been that, or what I know that God has taught me and told me, is that sometimes the greatest loss in our lives become our greatest ministry. And I feel like something that I can look back and see that I've lost in my life has been relationships or friendships, whether that's been because my best friend was killed in a car accident, or because someone moves away, or because of just a season that has ended and a relationship is gone. I feel like God took that constant theme and gifted me in a certain way to really be able to develop relationships. And so all of those things that God was teaching me in college during that time of severe depression and anxiety and grief, I feel like he just packaged up a little bit and said, you know what, this is the gift I'm giving you, and it's to be able to be with people. Like I taught, like I was with you, like I was with you, I'm giving you this gift to carry on to other people. And so he continued to put before me opportunities where I was just able to develop relationships with people, whether that was in a ministry context or an educational context. I have an education background, and it really revolutionized the way that I gave out information, right? Because if you just live your life and you're like, oh, I'm really passionate about education, or oh, I'm really passionate about ministry, and you don't have that relational piece, there's so much that we lose. And I think that really goes back to earlier on in my life where I just thought God and I had this information exchange. And it wasn't until I had that relationship that it really meant more. And so for me, God was teaching me through all of that and continued to teach me through my life that relationship is the most important thing that I can invest in. And so much so, it became my life's work. So whether it was working in the classroom or working in youth ministry or now with my own backyard, the relationship was the constant thread through all of it. And I can look back and see, oh, there were really important relationships. And some of them were so hard. Some of them ended. Some of them I felt like were taken away from me. But that has turned into a way that God has redeemed all of that and tasked me with, you are to invest in people. You are to give people what I have given you. You are to share that connection that I have with you and connect with other people. And so that's how I think God used that experience to be able to propel me into what was next.
So you've worked with, you said in education, right? Mm-hmm. So teacher?
Yes.
Yes. Yep. What age did you teach?
Yeah. Or so teach? I was a teacher and in youth ministry both. So my degree from Belmont Bruins here in Nashville, I had a concentration in Christian education. Mm-hmm. And so I worked both inside the church. I worked for camping ministries. I worked in Metro Nashville Public Schools with third grade and kindergarten and pre-K. Pre-K was really my jam. I worked in a private preschool. So I had this educational and ministry background from the time I graduated from college. I worked for a camping ministry. I worked for the Salvation Army. I did educational content and development. But wherever I was, I felt like God was putting before me students, youth. And when I look back, I'm like, you know what? God is so smart, because that's when God really captured my heart, is when I was a teenager, when I was a youth. And I could have really used a mentor. I could have really used an older person to say, you know what? You are not alone. Thankfully, God is my father and my friend, and was that for me. But I could have used an adult. I could have used someone to say, I'm a little farther along in my journey with Jesus. Let me tell you, He's with you. And I could have used someone to really come alongside of me. And so that's how I viewed myself, whether it was in the classroom or in a youth ministry context, is someone not to say, oh, this is how you do it. This is the plan. But to say, I'm with you. I'm beside you. And I'm going to walk with you in this. And so that has been my most important role, I think, to date.
Yeah, that's your heart's ministry is that connection. Mm-hmm. So you taught in all those different grades and in different situations. So where did you go from there?
Yeah, well, I will say there, what I'm doing now with my own backyard, I always tell people it did not start with a business plan. A lot of people have, you know, like this business plan of like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. This is my dream. This is my vision. I kind of fell into it. And I started with, you know, I was teaching and I was in youth ministry and there was an opportunity that came up. I just left the church job where I was and really felt like maybe I needed to go back to school. Maybe I needed a little bit more education on education and just had some different interests that I wanted to pursue. And God put this opportunity to go to South Africa in my way. And I say in my way because it kind of felt like, wait a minute, God, I never planned to go there.
When you plan to go a certain way and then God's like, well,
yeah.
I mean, but, you know.
How about this?
Let's just.
And to be honest, I had never been interested in international travel at all. And I think now that I have my own backyard, it makes sense. But at the time, it made zero sense because I'm like, wait a minute. I never really wanted to travel. I love traveling. There's nothing against it. But I never had South Africa in my mind. And God presented this opportunity for me to go to South Africa and practice some of the things that I was doing here. So in ministry and education. And I remember going and remember being really excited about the particular part of Cape Town where we were going. And I had done all of this research and I had everything mapped out. I knew exactly what we were going to do day by day. And the group I was going with, you know, thought I was super nerdy because I had everything planned. And I sat down.
Need you people, okay?
Right?
Those of us like me need the years doing that stuff. Like, yeah. Yes, somebody's got it.
I was so excited. But I was the only one in the group that sat next to someone that they didn't know, which I was probably the best person to do that because I just love talking to people. But this man did not want to talk to me. And I sat next to him and I talked his ear off about what we were going to do. And come to find out, he was from the exact same city that we were going. So, of course, I'm, like, so excited to share with him what we were going to be doing. I'm like, look at this school, and where are you from? And he's like, none of that sounds familiar. You know, in his thick South African accent, he was like, none of these things look familiar to me. I don't think you're actually going. I think someone swindled you. He thought I was just going to this place, and I would show up, and there would be nothing. So I was super discouraged. I'm like, oh, my goodness, like, maybe I'm going to go, and there's really not going to be anything there. Well, we get off the plane and we get on a bus and we start to drive where we're going to be teaching and ministering. And I had written down where he was from. And so I looked at it and it was 5 miles from the school where I was going to be working. And in that moment, I like any, you know, person on a bus in a place where they are not from, I was super judgmental. I was like, this guy lives 5 miles away.
And he tells you all this stuff.
He tells me all these things about where I should go to eat and all this in Cape Town. And I'm going to a school where the kids cannot come because they can't afford uniforms. They don't have shoes. They're doing HIV testing because a lot of the parents are infected with HIV. And we're, you know, doing all of these service-oriented things in his backyard. And he does not know. And I'm writing this down and I'm like kind of angry. I'm like, how dare he go and, you know, go off about all of these things and not even know that these things are in his own backyard. And I'm using this language and I felt like God was clearing his throat at me. He was like, say that again. What is that about people who live so close to people that they can serve? And I was like, okay, God, yeah, okay, whatever. And so I'm writing it down. And, you know, I spent almost 3 weeks in this one place in South Africa, hoping to go back there and sort of making these plans to go back. And, oh, where would I live? And what would I do? And the school is so lovely. And, you know, it's going to be hard, but, oh, it's going to be great. And surely God's calling me here. And when I was on the plane coming back, I looked at my journal and the amount of times I wrote the phrase, my own backyard, their own backyard, his own backyard. It was like this highlighter that just popped out to me. And I knew in that moment that God was not going to send me back to South Africa. That there were things that reminded me of my hometown, which is Nashville, when I was there. The disparity between the wealthy and the poor, people who are living one zip code away that don't ever cross paths, people who love Jesus who are doing ministry in this one area of town, and other people who love Jesus that are doing ministry two streets over that don't even know about each other. I was witnessing all of that in South Africa, and it's as if God took me to South Africa to show me about my own backyard and to show me what I needed to be doing here.
It's funny he'd take you that far away from your home.
Oceans
to
away.
To show it to you. Mm-hmm. To show you what was happening.
Yeah.
Right in your area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you have this amazing wisdom that God's downloaded in you. My own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing with it?
Yeah, so I came back and I'm like, I have no idea what that means, but I'll get to work. I will do whatever you want me to do. And I it's as if I pray that prayer of surrender again. I remember sort of a flashback, if you will, to when I was 17, where all I could say was, okay, God, everything I have is yours. And that was sort of the way that I committed my heart to Jesus. And it was as if I did that again, not necessarily with my heart in salvation, in the salvation way,
right,
but with my dream. So all of the things I was concocting, because that planner in me also tends to plan ahead of what maybe God would have me do. And I felt like God was calling me on an adventure and telling me one thing at a time. So it was like this dark path, and he was shining a flashlight on one step. And so the step when I got back was, you know, you're teaching in a public school. No more youth ministry, no more private pre-K. You know, it's Metro Public Schools. You're a product of them. You're going to go back and you're going to teach there. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. One step. Let's go.
That's so funny you talk about one step. I have been reading through Acts recently, and I notice every time the Holy Spirit talks to his children, he gives them one step. Yes. You don't get five steps. You don't get 15 steps. You don't get two steps.
Mm-hmm.
It's one step.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was desperately, again, the planner in me and the person who kind of wants to do things right. I come back and I'm like, I need a book. I mean, like, where's the instruction? I need a book. I need an email. I need a something. Like, God, what is it? You told me my own backyard in South Africa. I'm here. I'm here now. Look, I'm in my own backyard. Now what do I do? But it was that one step, and then I would obey, and then he would say something else, and then I would obey. And that's why I say I kind of fell into it, because before I knew it, I was doing what he was calling me to do, but I would look back over my shoulder going, oh, is it. Okay, let me walk another step. And it was that obedience that then I think led to that revealing, that other illumination of the path, if you will, that God would reveal that next step. And when I came back, like I said, I taught in a public school, and God began to teach me really what was here in my own backyard. Who were the people that were in need? Who were the people that were hungry? Who were the people that were feeling alone? And I think sometimes when we go to, at least for me, when I went to another country, it's as if I was looking for that need because I was going somewhere else and I was somewhat disconnected from the people. But when it's people in your own backyard that you have to see every single day, you really have to pay attention, or you ignore. Those are really the only two choices. Yeah. And so when God brought me back to Nashville, it was as if he would expose me to this issue or this problem or wonderful people to connect with. And then I chose whether or not I was going to pay attention to it or ignore it. And as I was teaching in the school, he would introduce me to different families and different people and more people in my own backyard than I had ever met before. And I grew up here, introducing me to issues that Nashville was dealing with, or things, crisis that families were in, or people even in my own church that maybe I was looking at it in a different way and really wanting to connect and build relationships with them. And as God continued to show me different people, he began to call me out of that job and just onto my own backyard full time. So
okay, so tell us about My Own Backyard.
Yes.
What exactly do you guys do?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we are a community engagement organization, and our goal and our mission is to connect people through relationship and service. And honestly, it really just started with me the year after I taught in that school. I walked into my principal's office and I was like, I can't explain it, but God's calling me away from the classroom. He told me to sell my stuff and move out of my apartment. And that's all I know. And luckily, I had a really supportive principal. And he's like, okay, well, you got to do it then. You got to do it. And let me know if I can help. And so from there, it just snowballed into me paying attention to the relationships that God was bringing me, starting to meet with a small group of students that was like a mobile youth ministry. And then before we knew it, it was named Backyard Leadership Team. And so my own backyard was the overarching organization. But the Backyard Leadership Team was our mobile youth group, not necessarily connected with a church, but it was a group of students who we were empowering and really revealing to them their own power through Jesus that they had to build relationships and to serve in their own backyard. And whether that's building community with each other or in their school or in the church. And so we were giving them opportunities that maybe they wouldn't have had before. A lot of our kids maybe that had suffered through hunger before or didn't know where their next meal was coming from, we were taking to them to the exact same food bank where they before were receiving food. And we were saying, you have something to give as well. You have the gift of service to give as well. Let's go. And they were coming and they were serving with us, or we were building relationships with families and really trying to have the church be outside of the walls of an actual building.
Yeah.
And bring these opportunities to students of all sorts of different backgrounds and all sorts of different walks of life, but really unifying them in community. And so that was one of the main ministries that we started with. But also, we consult with churches and offices and families who want to serve their own backyard but don't know how.
Oh, I was going to ask that, but you already knew what I was going to ask you. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I have been able to sit down with people, whether it's at an elementary school. There was a mom who really noticed that there were some hungry kids going home on the weekends in her elementary school. And so we sat down with her. She had the idea. She was going to make it happen. But we helped her walk through a healthy way to do that. Something I noticed and that was really important to me when I came back to Nashville was we as the church often take a lot of care when we do international missions because we want to respect the culture and we want to we want to learn what's going on. But we don't always take that same care in our own backyard. I was finding in my classroom, there were a lot of really good-hearted people that would just drop off bags of stuff to my classroom. They didn't necessarily know the needs. They didn't necessarily know the kids, but they just wanted to do something good. And so it was really important to me when I came back and I actually started forming this into an organization that we did things in a really healthy way and we stewarded what God gave us really well. And so we now sit down with whether it's the mom that I mentioned that wanted to start a food bank, or we met with a church who wanted to start a cafe in their basement. So just these different ideas that people have, and we help them get those ideas from their head and their heart and really put action behind them. Just like I would have loved a mentor when I was younger, when I was doing this, I would have loved someone to come alongside of me and say, oh, you have this idea? Let me help you execute it. But I think it was God's providence and God's grace that I actually had to fight my way and sort of struggle a little bit so that now I know how to help people.
And he didn't want you relying on somebody else. He didn't want you relying on a person.
Exactly. Or myself.
Yeah. Or yourself.
Yeah.
All of those,
people. He knows me and he knows that that's my go-to. I'll rely on myself. If I would have gotten a book that said, oh, this is how you do it, I would have followed that to a T and I would have just done it and it would have been good. But those are the continuous lessons that I felt like God was trying to break me of. And why I lived the first 8 or 9 years, raising my support as if I was an international missionary, but I was in my own backyard. So I wasn't receiving a paycheck. I wasn't underneath an umbrella of a nonprofit. I was doing all of this because God told me to. And I was going and asking someone to partner with me, or I was speaking at a church, or I was doing an odd job to sort of sustain my life, but then also be able to pour back into what I knew God was calling me to do in the community.
Okay. How does the community in the Nashville area get involved? Do they contact you? Do they, because they've got these ideas.
Mm-hmm.
How do they find out about you?
That's a great question. Yeah, so I always tell people that you can help me in my backyard or I can help you in yours. And so the way that works is you can contact us through Facebook as My Own Backyard, or you can contact me, Kathleen Murphy. But when you do that and you want to support the Backyard Leadership Team kids, that would be my backyard. So that would be the ministry that I do. That's the way that God's called me to invest at this time, is to invest in those kids. I always tell people when they ask if I have kids that I have 27, because that's how many kids we have in BLT. But they can help by doing a snack drive at their church. They can come and serve with us. We serve every Thursday in the school calendar year out and about in the Nashville community. So they can come. And I really love this idea of with instead of for, because that was such a big part of my story and my salvation and how God taught me to walk with him, that I encourage people that want to get involved in our backyard leadership team and with the kids to come with us instead of necessarily doing something for us, to come and experience it with us. Or if they do want to do a snack drive or a clothing drive or something like that, we can always tell you what we need, because there are needs that come up in our community. But then also I can help consult and give them an idea of what's available for them in their backyard too. Whether it's if they have an idea that's an original idea, where they're like, oh, I want to do this thing at my church, and it seems maybe a little bit bigger than they can do on their own. Or if they're like, you know what, I know that Jesus loves me and I know I want to give his love away, I just don't know how. I think sometimes we overthink what that is, or we think it needs to be a big project. And when I go and I do workshops for churches, or I'll consult with people and they can contact me and I'm happy to give them more information. But I think we think project instead of relationship. And I'm just simply calling for people to pay attention to their own backyard. You know, where do you shop? Do you get coffee every day? Do you work at Target? Okay, well then there are people that you are around every single day, right? So if I'm getting my coffee at the same Starbucks every Thursday, then I'm learning people's names and I'm building relationships with people. And that is the way that I can serve my own backyard, right? Or if I'm working at Target or I'm working at a retail store and I'm paying attention to the customers coming in. I think sometimes a simple way that Jesus calls us to be in our own backyard is just simply to be present and to be able to be outside of ourselves. So that's what we help people discover.
Okay. Yeah. That's really neat. Yep. And you're on Facebook, right?
We are. Yes, we're on Facebook at My Own Backyard. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they can message, or sometimes we'll post if we're having a specific event or if there is a specific need, we'll post that on our Facebook page so that people can be aware of it.
Okay. Do you have anything coming up soon that...
We do. Yeah. We have a couple different things. I know a lot of people like to get active around the holidays and do some different things with their families. And like I mentioned before, with our BLT kids, we serve every Thursday. We also have a Christmas brunch coming up on December 7th, and our goal is to be able to offer sort of like a mini store for our kids to shop in, both for themselves and for their family members. Something that was so important to me in starting My Own Backyard was that we were able to teach the community that at any point you could be a giver or you could be a receiver. And there's not one thing that you are for your whole life. At any moment, I could need something. And at any other moment, I could be able to give it. And so something that's really neat for us around the holiday season is to be able to put our kids in the position where they can give to someone else. And so we need things like scarves and hats and gifts that might be appropriate for a parent, like little lotion sets or books, things that our kids can pick out for their family members. They earn points and earn tickets to come and shop at our little store, and they will come and they'll pick out a gift and then they'll wrap it. And it could be for anyone in their family. Sometimes they'll pick out a gift for their mentor. We have five or six mentors that work with us every school year, and it's so sweet to see them go and pick out a gift. But to be able to give to someone else not only allows that child to be outside of themselves and think about other people, but it also affirms that they can give. They do have something to give, not just material, but that they have something they, especially if they have Jesus in their heart, they always have something to give. So they can be a part of that Christmas brunch by helping us collect items for our store or serving with us on a Thursday. And we also, around the holidays, will do a snack drive for 2020. So we're always looking for non-perishable items to go in our snack closet, whether it's for emergency food for kids we know, or if it's for our programming. We love to do that around the holiday season too, to get us ready for the new year.
So more snack type items.
Yes.
Instead of a typical pantry type foods, but more snacky.
Exactly. Okay. Also, because a lot of kids we know, like I said, are coming from different situations. So we have some that are in transitional housing, and we have some that don't need food at all. So we really try to get to know the people that we're around, and then we form what we do around that. So if we do have kids that are in need of food, then we will get those, you know, heftier items to give them. But most of the time, we'll do after school snacks or something like that for our kids.
Neat.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else we have not discussed about my own backyard or about just anything?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we've pretty much covered it. Awesome. I think the main thing for me is just to think about that my own backyard is less of an organization and more of an idea and more of a philosophy. It was my dream that every Jesus lover would just think about the 5 or 10 people that they come in contact with every day and every week. And think about if they took all of the energy, because something that God really convicted me of when I was raising money to go to South Africa is that, and when I came back and the challenges that I faced when I came back living as a local missionary, so to speak, is that we are so quick to get behind people who have a vision to go elsewhere. And sometimes we're a little careless about what's going on in our own neighborhoods or communities. And that when we pay attention to who's around us and when we are able to really love the people around us, it's not an either or thing. It's not, oh, either I go to South Africa or I serve in my own backyard. It's both and. But how can I go in a plane across oceans to somewhere else and come back and not pay attention to the people around me? So I think for me, that's the biggest thing is, yes, there are things organizationally that we're doing, but if all of us could just pay attention to the people around us, we would see that there are always people in need, whether it was someone like me in college going through grief, or whether it's someone who doesn't know where their next meal is going to come from. Need looks differently. And so if we all pay attention to that, then we'll begin to care for one another. And that really is the overarching mission of my own backyard, is to see communities caring for one another.
I love your beautiful story about God just coming to you in the needs that you had, and he met you there and has carried you through this whole way, all the way to loving people. Just you overflow what he's put in you, and my own backyard's gorgeous. I love the mission statement you just had. That was perfect.
Thank you.
So clear.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having time with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed today's interview with Kathleen Murphy at My Own Backyard. The organization has lots of opportunities for volunteering and donation, so if you feel so moved, you can find them on Facebook at My Own Backyard. As always, join our newsletter to find out all the new happenings and get personalized notes from Catherine and myself. And we hope to see you next week on the blog at pursuingtruenorth.com. Talk to y'all later.